Turning to Exodus 20, we're in the last two of the Ten Commandments. And today, that very simple one, in verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Now, on the surface, that's a legal comment. Don't give false testimony. In other words, don't testify against your neighbor in a legal proceeding unless you're telling the truth. And that's a pretty important thing in the legal world. But there's a far deeper truth in that one. And I think what we need to hear as we read this is, don't lie. Don't lie. Easy words to say, but our culture has a huge reservoir of lying built into it. Now, some of it's pretty obvious and irritating. You know, ring, ring, hello. Hi, this is Agent Johnson with the IRS, and we have 3 warrants for your arrest, and if you haven't called this number in the next 4 hours, we're going to be sending the sheriff to her. How many of you have gotten that phone call? Yeah, it's very convincing, isn't it? I've gotten it twice. One was obviously from Calcutta. Hello, this is the IRS. It was easy not to follow. But the other was a guy with a big authority voice, an American, a little bit Texan accent. It was harder to dismiss. But from the very beginning, you know it's a lie. And I don't know, I guess I just don't want to waste my time, but I've really wanted to call those and just say, do you live in a family where lying in order to steal from people is an honorable thing for a man to do? It probably wouldn't do any good, but I almost kind of want to shame some people in that for what they're doing to people. My mom has gotten called twice from our boys. Mom, this is Matt. Grandma, this is Matt. I'm in trouble. I was with some friends, and we went over into Mexico, and we were drinking a little too much, and somebody had drugs. I'm in jail, and I need to get bailed out. Grandma, can you help me? And it sounds very convincing. And this, you know, and then the story goes on that, of course, you can't directly send money to the jail. You got to send it to my friend Juan, and he'll get it and bail me out. And I'll, fortunately, Mom said the first one she got, the guy sounded a lot like Matt, and when people talk to you, you want to believe them, right? I mean, even if it's bad, we just kind of have a natural tendency to trust people, and especially when it's family. Now, when Ryan called her a few weeks later and was in trouble with friends who had drugs in Mexico, and Mom said, but you live in Malaysia. She didn't say it to the guy on the thing. She finally listened a little while and said, call your father, and hung up. And they never called me, so it was. But lying is so easy to do and so easy to be taken in by. We all struggle with it. Why do people do this? Well, lying actually is part of the human condition. Interesting research has been done on lying. And the bottom line is, as near as they can tell, everybody lies sometimes. In fact, one research project found that in a 12-minute conversation, on average, people tell 3 lies. You know, not big ones, you know, I'm an astronaut, that kind of thing, but the little things of, oh yeah, it's great to hear from you, or yeah, I understand what you're saying when you don't. You know, it's woven into the way we deal with each other so much that to escape it, we have to consciously, purposefully step back and think about what we're doing. Because actually, okay, let's say, your parents told you not to lie, right? But then they taught you to lie, to get out of stuff, to avoid embarrassing situations. You know, we all know Uncle Bob smells bad. Don't say anything. You know, and if anybody asked you, you didn't notice anything. You know, we have this double standard, even on ourselves, where we recognize there's times it's just easier to lie than to deal with the truth. And, well, then it comes back. And he says, don't bear false witness against your neighbor. In other words, don't lie. And remember, every one of the Ten Commandments we've looked at, we've said, and I'll keep saying it, it's not about establishing a bunch of rules and saying you can go this far and no further, and if you break this rule, then God's really mad, blah, blah, blah. That's an immature, childish understanding of the gospel and of sin. Now, violating God's laws is sinful. But the real issue isn't breaking the rules, it's rejecting God. Because that's what you're doing in violating any of the things the Bible says are sinful, is that you are rejecting the character of God. Because the teachings God's given us about how he would like us to live before him, that's not just an arbitrary set of rules. It's God saying, if you want to be like me, if you really love me, you want to be like me. And if you want to be like me, if you want to live like I created you to be, here's some standards that'll help you do that. But the real point of sin isn't breaking the rule, it's violating God. Saying, God, you're not good enough. Your way, I know a better way. I know what I want to do. I know what you want, and I choose me. That's the essence of what underlies all sin. And lying is just right in that same category. And what God's saying isn't so much, I want you to stop being a bunch of liars, is I'd like you to love me so much that you would walk in truth as I walk in truth. See, God doesn't lie. Scripture says that very clearly. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. Well, that's pretty bad. We set the standard on that one. But he says, no, that's not my way. I deal in truth and nothing else. And if you really want to be one of mine, if you really want to walk close to me, if you want to grow in a godly character, do what I do. Walk in simple truth. Now think about it this way. I tried to do a little thinking about this. Now, why do people lie in the first place? Now, there's a number of reasons, and I'd like to think through some of those and remind us of why lying at any level actually is not, it's an affront to God, it's a rejection of God, it's also damaging and self-destructive of us. Why do people lie? Well, to hide shame. You remember back in Genesis, the very first sin, Adam and Eve partake of the forbidden fruit. And God comes for his evening stroll with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And they're not to be found. Adam, where are you? I'm here, but said, why are you hiding? Well, we realized we're naked and we were ashamed. Who told you you were naked? See, does your dog worry about being naked? No, it doesn't even occur to him. I wish I had a good pair of pants to wear today. You know, your dog, and they were in that place of innocence where it never even occurred to them, never crossed their mind. And God, of course, he knew anyway. But as soon as they showed that shame and acknowledged that they had something to hide, the fact that sin had come into the world and come into their lives was laid out there for all to see. We lie to hide shame, to say, there's things about me I don't want you to know. Because what would happen if you knew those things? What would happen? What would I be? What would you think of it? How could I function if you knew my heart of hearts? So I'm going to hide some things. And as soon as we do that, what are we really saying? Well, I understand. I understand that I have violated God. And I understand that I'm still not in control of that whole thing. And the only thing I know to do with it is to hide it, to keep it away. And in shame. You know, I years ago I was in a church in Texas. I came in one day to the office, nobody else was in the building, sat down and had the door open, and I heard something. You realize, no, there's somebody in the building and they're moving kind of funny. So I walked down the hallway to the kitchen, and as I came up on it, I heard a couple of voices say, quick, get down. You know, uh-oh, something's happened here. I need to see what's good. And I finally said, guys, I know you're there. Come on, just stand up and don't make me chase you. And a couple of junior high age kids, a boy and a girl, stood up, and I knew the boy, and no surprise who it was. I said, yeah, what's up, guys? And I tried not to sound accusing, but, you know, what are you doing here? He said, well, the back door in through the nursery was unlocked, so, and we thought it would be okay. I said, really, you thought you didn't think there was any problem? Then why are you hiding from me? You know, it was one of those, shame makes us hide. And as long as we haven't dealt with our own guilt, the shameful things we've done, the shameful things we are, we're going to feel compelled to keep hiding ourselves, to keep hiding the people around us from the simple truth of who and what we are, what we've done, what's in our hearts. And God says, stop it. You know, the first step in finding healing is to claim who and what you are. You know the deal. You go to Alcoholics Anonymous, what's the first thing you got to say? Hi, I'm Doug, and I'm an alcoholic. That's an incredible breakthrough for a lot of people, because they've never said that openly in front of another person. They've known it. They've hidden from it. They may not have even said it to themselves. And the first breakthrough they can make is to say, hi, I'm whoever, and I'm an alcoholic. And that's where the change that AA brings so many people actually begins, is at that point of not lying to yourself anymore. Yeah, I've had several questions in the last couple months about how Pat and I are doing. We're coming up. October's our first anniversary, all that. And yeah, I guess it's good. It really is. And I've been accused of still being in the honeymoon period, but we've been hanging around long enough that I think we're settled into real life. But you know, it's good. And we've got a connection that I've rarely seen. And a lot of the reason for it is there's nothing hidden. I don't really understand how it happened, Pat. You don't either, I know. We had one date, and it was a little awkward because you were so angry at some of the stuff that other guys had recently done to you that you didn't even want to be there. But yeah, it's a good story. We'll tell it sometime. But most of you have heard it. But on our second date, somehow the trust broke through, and we started exposing our real selves. And things I don't talk to people about, and things Pat, I think. She had some interesting history, and one of her sisters, you were talking to one of your sisters and said, yeah, but you know, you guys haven't known each other that long. And he said, yeah, but we've pretty well put everything on the table. And she said, everything? Yeah. Is that possible? Yeah, it is. It really is. But it takes two people working at these things. And, you know, I had to put some things on. We all do. But we were able to build an incredibly close relationship because we just put everything out there. There was almost from the beginning, there was nothing hidden. None of the usual stuff people dating do, you know, I'll tell you about this, but we aren't going to go into that and those kind of things. And it was incredibly refreshing not to have to go through all the silliness that it takes. And the funny thing is, I think we came out respecting and appreciating each other far more because we understood the truth of each other than we would have if we'd have politely kept things on that little more formal basis where I won't probe if you don't probe and I won't tell if you don't tell sort of thing. And getting the whole thing of lies out of the way where there's nothing hidden was an incredibly liberating thing. And I think one of the reasons that within a very short time we knew we were going to get married, it was just the right thing. It was just, in a lot, you know, there's a lot of people, if we'd have gotten that honest, we just said, ain't going to happen. But it was right, and it did happen. Here we are, doggone it. But my point is, the temptation to lie, to hide our shame. I'm not proud of everything about myself. And I try to be as honest with you as I can. But you know, there's stuff I really would rather not preach about. But in this special relationship, it's all on the table. Everything. And vice versa. And by making that decision, we enabled a relationship that moved farther, faster, in a very healthy way than most relationships I've seen developing, especially with people you meet on a dating website. My goodness. Well, we lie to hide our shame, and when we do that, we prevent ourselves from being in right relationship with the people around us. See, everything I have hidden is between you and I. It's awkward because I got to watch what I say. I've got to be careful how much I let out there. And when I finally just get honest with you, you either love me or you hate me. And no offense, but I haven't lost anything either way. You were going to hate me anyway if you do. And if you love me anyway, it's just better that we got it all out there. And we love the real each other rather than the fake each other that we put up so well. And as Christians, we need to understand the whole core of the gospel is that you and I are sinners in need of a Savior. We're not good people in need of some better rules to live by. We're sinners who need a Savior. People who need forgiveness more than anything else. People who are damaged beyond repair, who need a repairman, who can make us whole again. But we can't fix that till we face the problem. Lying to ourselves and to the people around us, it only breaks things. That doesn't mean go confess everything to everybody in inappropriate ways. Of course not. But the more you're hidden, the more you're stuck in a lonely place where no one can reach you and you can't reach anyone because the real you isn't even accessible, often because we lie to ourselves, even to you. But as a forgiven sinner who's under the blood of Jesus Christ, whose shame is outshone by the glory of God, you can claim the truth and move past the ugly stuff. Well, people lie to hide their shame. People also lie to enhance their appearance before others. A couple days ago, John McCain died. I'm sure you've seen the news. McCain, best known now for his run for the presidency and for some of the maverick stuff he did as a senator, and I certainly didn't agree with him a lot of the time, but I have a deep reservoir of respect for John McCain for his wartime service. Remember, he was the son of an admiral who was flying missions over North Vietnam, was shot down, and was held in that prison known as the Hanoi Hilton, a place of torture and unthinkable things for years. A man who actually refused to be set free when they wouldn't set the others free. Knowing he was the son of an admiral, the North Vietnamese said to McCain, "We want you to carry a message to the United States. And because of the respect they have for you and your father, we want you to be the carrier, and we're willing to release you to go carry that message." And he said, "No, I won't go without the others." I so admire the courage and the willingness. I mean, what an opportunity. Who wouldn't take that? But no, he stood firm. And I so appreciate that. And I bring that up, just he's in my mind right now. Most people who fought in Vietnam never talk about it, have nothing to say because of the way we treated our returning veterans more than anything. A lot of reasons, but what I've found, my sister told me this years ago, she lived on a pretty rough edge of life for a while, and she said, if you ever go into a bar and a guy tells you he was in Vietnam, he wasn't. Period. That's it. And there's a real truth to that. I haven't gone into many bars to check it out. But I just, lying about service, about heroism, is a huge reason a lot of people lie, to enhance their self-esteem. I've run into several people who claim to have been POWs, and when I checked it out, nothing further from the truth. Had a guy who wanted to connect. He had a mission organization down in Latin America and the Philippines, and he really wanted to connect with the Association of Churches that I was leading. And I thought this was pretty exciting possibility. And looked into it, and the more I looked, the better I liked what they were doing, some on-the-ground mission stuff with people who already lived there instead of bringing in outside missionaries who had to learn the language and the culture and all that. And then he dropped one day in a conversation that he'd been a POW in Vietnam. And that set off an alarm bell in my head, and I started checking. And sure enough, you go look at the list of people who never were POWs but are claiming it, there he was, and actually he was doing some good stuff, but I would never trust a guy who would lie to me about something that important, and that was the end. I never spoke to him again, never cared to, and I'd gotten kind of excited about the possibilities at that one point, but he was trying to enhance his reputation, enhance my respect for him by lying. And of course, by lying, he lost it all. And I could go on with several tales of those phony Vietnam vets and Vietnam prisoners and all that. But just to say, people lie sometimes just to enhance their appearance before others. One of the churches I worked with back in the day hired a guy who had an incredible resume, and he got there, and it was a very small town church, and it was okay. Something didn't seem quite right, and an article about this guy's background got printed in a paper in the larger nearby town. It'd be like Waterloo to us, and a guy who knew him back in the day called the church and said, "Folks, this guy's a fraud. Said, I knew him when he was getting fired from the police department somewhere back in Virginia because it turned out all his credentials were fake. He claimed to have had all this training, all these degrees and things, and if somebody actually checked it, none of it was true. I mean, not just some of it, none of it. So we went into ministry and again put a whole bunch of fake credentials out there. And when people questioned him, yeah, you graduated from this this Bible college? Well, yeah, I did. The Bible college down in, I think it was Jamaica, one of the islands down there. And they said, you know, we haven't been able to find that school. He said, well, yeah, they had a fire. It burned down. All the records were lost. And yeah, oh, yeah, really? Okay. Well, you also got a degree from the school in Canada. Well, yeah, they had a fire and all the records were lost. No, and pretty quick, it became very clear his whole resume was faked. And honestly, he didn't need to fake it. I think he could have gotten the job he had, and probably, if he'd have been an honest person, could have done the job. But he destroyed himself trying to impress people with things that weren't true. Well, let me just tell you, if you have to lie to impress people, quit. Stop it. You're going to be found out and destroyed. And frankly, if you're not good enough for the people around you, they're going to reject you eventually anyway. You know? And if people are the kind of people who are going to love you, they're going to love you without putting all the fancy scroll work on it. They're going to love you for who you are, not the stuff you can fake and lie about. It just doesn't need to be. You're wasting your time and taking a huge risk. Now, we like to lie to avoid consequences. Oops, I broke it. Y'all did that as kids, right? You broke something and then you carefully put it back together, hoping mom wouldn't find it and that maybe it would fall over later and somebody else would get blamed, or it'd be one of those, the lamp broke, rather than I broke the lamp, those kind of things. I see you're all innocent. But we lie to avoid consequences, and inevitably we wind up facing consequences. The lies don't hold. And if they do, they eat you alive anyway. You know, we dealt with this several weeks ago. We're talking about don't steal. I appreciated Jordan. You came up here and did the little exercise of the $5 bill. And I said, you know, if you snatch it out of my hand, I'm not going to fight you for it. But said, but if you snatch it out of my hand, what would that do? And he said, it'd make me a thief. Exactly. And what do you get when you lie? Well, you become a liar. And you lose your own sense of integrity, your own sense of wholeness, your own sense of ability to trust yourself. Because if you lie to anybody else, you'll lie to yourself first. We lie to avoid dealing with uncomfortable truths. This is where most of us get caught. Most of you are committed to not running around lying and telling stupid stories that are going to get you caught up. But we all lie to avoid uncomfortable situations, don't we? Say, does this dress look okay on me? Oh, yeah, it really looks great. Or we do the evasion of saying, you look good in anything, honey. You know, there's always a way around it. But lying as a social lubricant to keep us from getting into awkward situations really just leads to more trouble. And there's a point where we have to learn to tell the truth. Now, graciously, we'll come back to that. But the truth, the simple truth, that no, things aren't right. And there's some stuff we need to deal with that's blocking us up. Those are painful conversations to have. Horrendous decisions to go through and all that. But as long as the relationship between you and another person is maintained by keeping a lie, you don't have a real relationship. You have a relationship between two fake images, not two people. And frankly, that's not what you bargained for. It's not what you want. Sometimes it feels comfortable. It's a whole lot easier to do that than to step into the fire and, oh, yeah, and no guarantees it's going to work. Telling the truth doesn't always come out good. I got to tell you, I'm not, you know, but not telling the truth always destroys relationships and your own sense of integrity. And then people lie to manipulate others. And I don't know that I need to go into much on that. Let me just say it this way. God is God. And if you have to manipulate people, you're trying to play God. You're trying to take a job you're not qualified for, quite frankly. Even if you fake your resume, you can't get it up to that level. You don't have to manipulate the world. You don't have to manipulate people around you with lies. You can live in truth and let that be the transforming agent. And that's all I want to say on that, but that's I want you to hear it. Now, I got to say, living a life of truth is not a license to be obnoxious. Sometimes people say, you know what, I am going to tell the truth. Yeah, and you start kicking people around and being ugly and mean. That's not living the truth either. I had a lady in a church I was in once. She said, looking at the different personality types in the New Testament and all, said, well, you got to understand, I have a prophetic personality. And prophets almost always irritate people, almost always catch them off guard. So she just felt free to be as obnoxious as she liked and blame it on God for making her a prophetic type. And I had to challenge her a few times on that one. No, that doesn't take grace, tact, and wisdom out of the situation. Sometimes it gives you some difficult things that need to be said. But the more difficult it is to be said, the more grace it needs to be sprinkled with and wrapped in so we can hear what you have to say. I don't know if she ever quite got that message, but I tried. But the Bible, the key phrase there is speaking the truth in love. Out of one of Paul's letters, speaking the truth in love. You do need to speak the truth. But if you speak it in love, most people, most of the time, can hear it. If they can't, they have the problem, not you. But if you can't speak truth in love, you have the problem, not them. Okay? Speaking the truth is meant to be an act of caring, not an act of attacking or destroying. And we've got to find that careful distinction between those two things. Now, I want to come at this one other way. And didn't have a good name for this. I just called it the relational side of truth and lying. Because Christianity, understood at its root, is always relational. It's about, first of all, our relationship with God, then our relationship with others around us, and our relationship with ourselves. And lying, at any level, destroys all those levels of relationship. And that's the problem. It's not because you're breaking the rule. Say it again. It's a sin because it denies the value of God's nature. See, God says, Jesus said, I am the truth, right? So what happens when you deny truth? Well, yeah, you just denied him. You just said, the reality that God has created isn't good enough for me. I have to make something better. I have to invent it. I have to stretch it. I have to exaggerate it. And as soon as you do that, that's actually a rejection of God. Oh, I don't like hearing that. It's much easier to say, whoops, sorry if I offended you. But no, there's more to it than that. You've rejected God's nature, and you've rejected the image of God that's in every person. To lie to someone else is to say, on one level or another, I don't trust you with the truth. And the only way I know to control the situation, to control you, is to lie to you. And, you know, if you respect that those people around you, regardless of their flaws, are people made in the image of God, you really can't do that. See, lying says to the people around you, you can't handle the truth, so I have to protect you with my lies. That's where, if you ever saw the movie, A Few Good Men, thank you, yes. Yes, there's that famous courtroom scene, and don't need to set the whole thing up, but the guy says, do you want the truth? I think I'm entitled. Do you want the facts? I think I'm entitled to the facts. Do you want the truth? Yes, I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. That you've seen that. If you've never seen the movie, you've seen that that scene played out different ways. You can't handle the truth. And sometimes to lie to people is to say, I don't think you've got enough strength to cope with reality. I think we have to make up a fake reality for you just so you can cope. You can't handle the truth because I protect you with my lies. It also says to the other person, I don't value you enough to bother myself with telling the truth. Because it would cause me some pain. It would expose me to some bad emotional stuff on your part. I don't value you enough to tell you the truth. You're not worth it. A complaint I have with doctors. Having been a pastor a number of years and walked a lot of people through cancer, I get so frustrated, and it's getting better. But back in the day, doctors would never tell people the truth when they had cancer, and there really wasn't much they could do about it. And when Bev got her diagnosis the second time around, we were in the hospital over in Mason City, and a new oncologist came to meet and talk. Very nice guy, sweet guy. But I couldn't not do it. I just said to him, I appreciate what you're doing, but I need you to hear this. Okay, I've been a pastor a lot of years, and I've watched a lot of people go to their death not knowing what was going on because the doctor didn't want to go through the pain of telling the truth. And I want you to tell the truth. And as I did it, Bev watched, and she said his body language, he started backing up toward her, got over by the bed, put a hand on her arm, and I didn't think I was coming off that angry, but, you know, if I go to the cancer doctor, I want the absolute truth. I don't want any pussyfooting around, any kidding. I want to know what it is so I can deal with it. And I want you to trust me. I want him to trust me enough to level with me so we can deal with it instead of playing this game. Over the years, I've walked so many people through that game of maybe I'm okay, maybe I'm not. Maybe the treatments are going to help, maybe they aren't. Can you tell? Sorry. Trigger warning. Okay. Lying is not good for our relationships with other people, not good for our own internal relationship. You see, if you have to lie to yourself or to the people around you, what you're really saying is my real self is so worthless, I have to hide it, which means you've never understood the gospel. Because the gospel says, well, yeah, you are a sinner worthy of the wrath of God, but he loves you, he's redeemed you, and you are worthy of being called a child of God now and forever. Accept it. If you have to lie, what you're really saying is, I don't believe that. Maybe you say, theologically, I believe it, but you're really saying, in my heart of hearts, I think I'm worthless, and I can't just be who I am, who God says I am. I have to make something better out of it. There is nothing better than being a child of God. And you're really trying to manipulate reality at a level you can't. It's a fool's errand, as they say. And lying actually says to God, I don't trust you. Reality's not acceptable. I have to bend it because you messed it up, God. Now, nobody'd say it that way, I know. But that's what you're really saying when you have to lie about stuff, is reality's not good enough. God needs to He needs my help to improve it a little bit, get the edges off. It also says, God, I don't think you're all aware, because I can hide things from your awareness. It's a little like peekaboo. There's a brief period in the life of children when they believe if they can't see you, you can't see them. And that's what happens when we try to hide our sin. God's not going to know about that one. Oh, you know, as soon as you say it that way, of course not. He's God. But we have that feeling if we don't acknowledge it, if we don't say anything, if we just pretend it never happened, God's going to kind of lose it too. Sorry, God's God, and you're not hiding anything from him. You're kidding yourself, and you're hurting yourself. Well, never lie to hurt somebody. Always tell the truth when it's possible. And there's times, honestly, in a fallen world, there's times it's not possible to tell the truth. You know, Gestapo, are you hiding any Jews in your attic? Oh, yeah, there's six of them up there. No, you lie. You say no. But, you know, honestly, very few times do we come to those kind of circumstances. And when you do, Martin Luther said, when you sin, sin boldly. If you have to lie because the world's falling apart, you know, do it with courage. But do it also knowing this is fundamentally wrong. I'm choosing the lesser of evils rather than a good. Always speak with grace. Always open and close with the positive and affirming, no matter how unpleasant the truth in between. Make it a sandwich with good stuff on both sides of the meat. And it always scares me when a preacher says, lastly. I've been through 20 and 30 minute lastlies, but we're not going to do that. Lastly, is it really worth being a person of truth? Is it really worth the trouble? Because it's not easy. It is not pleasant. But just before Bev and I moved to Illinois, after 17 years in Texas, I was called to lead this association of churches in Illinois. And we had all the stuff loaded. We were in the final goodbyes in the driveway. And one of our close friends hugged Bev and said, well, I know Doug's going to have to be on the road a lot this next couple of years, but then it's going to ease up. It won't be quite as much. Well, that wasn't the truth. The truth was, I was going to be on a third to half a year, I was going to be on the road doing this ministry. And there's no escaping it. And I still don't know how the misunderstanding came about, but Bev thought I said, after a couple of years, the travel schedule will ease up. And not knowing what I was walking into, I said to the friend, oh, no, this is how the job is. I'm going to be on the road most of, you know, a third of the year at least. Well, then we got in the cars and drove away. U-Haul. Bev's in the car behind me, and she is in a purple rage. And I have no idea, you know, the usual man thing. Huh? Are you angry, baby? Yeah, okay, I just, and I think we got clear to Illinois before she finally backed up the dump truck and pulled the lever and let it all out. And I said, wait, no, I never said that. Yes, you did. We went through this very painful discussion, nice word for it, about whether I was going to be on the road after the second two or three years. And I like I say, I have no idea how we crossed this one up because it was so important. And she was furious with me for lying to her, which, you know. And what do you do? I mean, we both got our cards on the table and we're sitting there. And after, I don't know how much time it was, but we backed off, had a cool off period. And she finally said to me, you know, we've been together 20 some years. And in all those years, you've never lied to me. I've watched you. You've never lied to me. I've never seen you lie to other people. And much as I think you said that, I'm going to choose to trust you. just because of our history. And I had a great sigh of relief because I can't prove what I did or didn't say in a conversation I don't recall. And we were able to normalize life. And the funny thing is, she discovered it was great to have me gone for a couple weeks at a time. Everybody was happy. It was a win-win. But that little incident, to me, confirmed everything I've ever said about living in truth. Our old friend Dan Schrock, that used to be part of this church, I love the way he put this. We were talking something on this line one time, and he said, you know, the way I understand it is, I think we were talking about false accusations that come sometimes. And he said, the way I understand it is, live your life so that if somebody goes out and tries to start a rumor about you, nobody'd believe it. Tell the truth. So that if somebody ever accuses you of lying, nobody's really even going to believe it. You'll be at peace. You'll go through some painful transitions, but your relationships with other people in this world will find a level of peace, and you'll be right. You'll be right in yourself. Lord, so often we feel like that courtroom drama. You can't handle the truth. The people around us can't handle it. We can't handle it. But Lord, you are truth. You say that defines you. I am the truth. Minister that to us here today. And give us wisdom and grace to live in truth and to be people who transform the world out of our own transformations in truth. Thank you, Lord. We truly love you. We truly want to serve you. We truly want to be like you. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.